The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. What a day it is today. What a beautiful day on the Isle of Man this Friday lunchtime. We're open line on Man in Line through to a one today. So call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio@manxradio.com. Well, what a surprise. What a surprise, says John in Saddleston. Strange but true, most of the prom has been spruced up. Apparently the potholes have been filled in, lines have been painted on the route for the king. Amazing what can be done. Can you imagine if the horse that pulls the tram is called Harry, by the way? Stop it. That's John in Saddleston. Thank you, John. Well, it's amazing what you can do. Who's going to explain to the king about our halfway horse tram? When his mother went on it a few years ago, it was all the way, but I'm sure they'll have a response to this. I never really wanted to see nor have these on the Isle of Man, but they're a major problem on the Isle of Man. It's only getting worse, and the police can't be everywhere at once. The only way I can see of stopping it is speed cameras, says G. I live in Ramsey, and the speeding is out of control in Ramsey, so only one way, I'm afraid, as people have no consideration for other motorists. It's got to be speed cameras. Well, I don't know how much speed cameras cost, and if you do, then please tell me. But they are big revenue generators. They do work. And they do, you can get the ones that actually issue, the ones that are around Scotland, certainly, are the ones that actually take a photo of the vehicle, and they will, it'll be electronically sent out with the letter straight away saying, pay up. So we could do that on the Isle of Man. Do you think that would chip away at the Isle of Man, by the way, having speed cameras? There are certain hotspots, and if you drive around the Isle of Man, particularly if you drive a particular route every day, you'll know where the hotspots are for speeding. Cow Hill is one, certainly. So do you think it's time to do this? And particularly with all this kerfuffle over, if you've seen the 20 mile per hour things that have gone around, there are still people doing 30 miles per hour in 20 mile an hour zones. So, and the police have said, the chief constable has said in the past, they haven't got the personnel to deal with it. They haven't got the resources to deal with it. So if the technology is there to do it, and we can make a few bob out of it, what do you think? That's G on 467, speed cameras for the Isle of Man. By the way, somebody's asking about the interviews that we're broadcasting with all the candidates for the general election. They're all available. They'll be available as podcasts. Electricity prices won't change. I watched it a program about how they calculate the prices. It's standard everywhere. Way too complicated to explain. The decision's been made, and I predict we're going to have the wind farm. I wish I could predict the lottery with such certainty. That's Desmond. Well, I've got an opinion about when people say it's too complicated to explain. If something is too complicated to explain, perhaps you don't understand it well enough, because we have 29p per kilowatt hour. Surely somebody somewhere within Ofsted or the Department of Infrastructure or the Treasury can say roughly that the price of electricity is either going to go up or it's going to go down if we get the Moore Vannin wind farm. And surely you would think with that amount of industry, I mean, it'll be like living in a factory. These 1,000-foot wind turbines will be straight in your face. And if that's what we have to accept, then presumably there'll be a payoff. There will be cheaper electricity. So why doesn't somebody somewhere just say it's going to be cheaper? Or is it going to be more expensive? Bournemouth is refurbishing groins, says John. There's no large wall. We're talking about what Douglas is doing at the moment by dragging stuff away where this new Berlin Wall is. And surely that's what they're going to have to do all the time. They're going to have to take the sand and the pebbles away from that wall. Otherwise, it'll just go above the wall, won't it? A note in from, oh, a plaintive note from 169. Who was the person who knocked my wing mirror off at Cross Four Ways and didn't fancy leaving a note from the... Oh, dear me, who was that? Could you? Is it really true that they're giving us a kiddies play area back in Douglas? That will be wonderful. It's been 4.5 years, says Jill. Well, apparently, Devon Watson said the other day, then it's going to happen. The news item about the UK buying EU electricity during the heatwave featured in the Times and the Telegraph on the 25th of June, says Gaz. Apparently, now, is this true that the Falcon Cliff is no longer lit up at night? I didn't take a look last night, but if you head along Douglas Promenade, the Falcon Cliff being illuminated is one of the sights of Douglas Promenade. So if you can tell me whether or not this is true. More people with opinions on speed cameras, whether or not we should have them. Speed cameras in hotspots, why not? It'll be fewer accidents, income for the government. It's a win-win, says 500. I wonder what they do with the income. I mean, if they ring-fence the income, here's a tip. If we do get speed cameras, if they choose to put speed cameras, why not put all the money from the speed camera into a central pot and use it for something else, not just in the central kind of a way of kind of averting any problems with it. Just put it all into a separate pot and use it for something else. I sat in a cafe by the window last week. The amount of cars speeding on the street where people walk was amazing. Still going fast. When people go in between a car and run out, who's at fault, the driver or the parent? Well, it's the driver. The driver is always at fault because you're supposed to drive to the conditions. So if you hit somebody or hit anything, you're in charge. You're supposed to drive. This is Liza. I think this was Main Street. Is this in Port Erin? 29p per kilowatt hour. The price will never be cheaper. That's not how life works. What a wind farm could do is slow the pace of inflation. This is 623. Well, other countries do have cheaper electricity than, I mean, Western Europe is particularly high. It's just something that we've got used to, purely because Western Europe is highly developed and is well off compared to everywhere else. So you charge people who are well off more money. You can't fit speed cameras in willy-nilly. It's against EU law. EU? Dave, what's that got to do with the Isle of Man? The UK has been taking them down. You can only put them up on proven serious accident sites. Well, we're the Isle of Man. We can make up a law, can't we? We can make up a law. You could call it the speed cameras, brackets, remuneration, close brackets, scheme. It's the police who are not doing their job, says Dave. Spending their time on policy and health and safety instead of pulling people over for speeding and driving over roundabouts. But the technology could do it for us, Dave, couldn't it? I mean, what would you rather be? Pulled over by a police officer and given a ticket, or get one anonymously through the post with a photo of you there? And a note in that just says, could you confirm the announcement that Ralph Peake is holding the event at Laxey Working Men's Club today? Well, unless it's been cancelled, it's on today, Carol. I accidentally clicked on the scam advert on the Manx Radio website and it took my money via Apple Pay. I screen recorded it, says John in Oncombe. John, all you need to do is report it. By all means, report that. We'll obviously investigate it. The ongoing requirement for renal... don't click on things, by the way. An ongoing requirement for renal patients in the north of the Isle of Man to travel to Nobles Hospital for dialysis is affecting their physical and mental well-being, it's been claimed. Now, a letter has been sent on behalf of patients previously treated at Ramsey and District Cottage Hospital, saying the original plan was for the Northern Renal Unit to be back in action at the end of April. It's now the middle of July. Jan Skinner, former government employee, dialysis patient, says Nobles is wonderful, but the situation for dialysis patients in the north is intolerable.
It's been absolute hell, to be honest with you. It just takes up to eight hours of your day to go for a four-hour treatment. Getting there, getting back, it's been horrible.
And this is about 3 days a week for most people, is it?
It is 3 days a week for me. Most people do it 3 days a week for four-hour sessions on the machines, but some do a little less.
Now, you've also been through much of the winter and you've had situations where the mountain road is closed, you've had the TT on, and really getting into Douglas has not been easy.
No, it hasn't. There was one particular night in the middle of January when it really snowed. Do you remember that really snowy night? And there was a call to the renal unit. I was halfway through my session and they got a call to say, oh, we haven't got any taxi drivers to take Janice home to Ramsey.
That was Jan Skinner. Another patient from Ramsey is Craig McHugh. He's a wheelchair user and needs regular dialysis. Having to travel to Douglas, he said, has taken its toll.
Yes, it has. I'm in a wheelchair because I'm an above an amputee as well. So it's, you know, in and out, getting out the wheelchair onto the bus and then back into the wheelchair up when you get off the bus. And there's been times where the bus hasn't turned up or the taxi's not showed up at the hospital because it's not been booked properly. And it's just tiring because you're leaving the house, say for instance, I leave the house at 11 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I'm not getting home until 7 o'clock at night.
That's a long day.
It is when you're on dialysis, and I don't think people just think, oh, dialysis is easy, but it's not. It's the toll it takes on the body. You know, they're taking all the blood out of your body or as much as they can in the 4 hours you're on the machine. They're cleaning it, pushing it back into your body. So then your body core temperature is really, it's dropped. So you're freezing cold. So then you're trying to get warm again. You know, you're lethargic. It's just around, it just goes round and around and around. But it's not just the patients that are suffering, it's the staff as well. I think the amount of pressure that the staff are under, and you can see the cracks happening, you know, and the dialysis nurses are great, don't get me wrong, they're fantastic, but something's going to crack, and I'm worried for the patients as well as other people are, but I'm worried about the nurses as well.
What are your thoughts on this? Obviously, it eventually is going to go back to Ramsey and District Cottage Hospital, but it's late. It's another thing that hasn't quite happened in time, and as those patients are saying, you heard their tales about the impact on their lives that it has. It takes an entire day. We've spoken to people in the past who are self-employed in Ramsey, and it takes their entire day, so they lose a day's pay, whereas previously they could go to Ramsey Cottage Hospital and possibly lose just half a day. So it's affecting people all over the place. Any thoughts on this? You text, email, call and WhatsApp. Falconcliffe hasn't been lit until at least April. I flew in at night looking for it and it wasn't there. Well, apparently we found money to paint and some flags for the King Lord of Man. I think Charles needs to fly in monthly. Then everybody will liven themselves up, says this correspondent. I don't want speed cameras. I want to carry on breaking the law without being caught, says Keith. Well, at least you're honest, Keith. I wrote an email for the Chief Constable's attention a couple of weeks back regarding people speeding through the villages where we live. We haven't seen speed traps for 3 years. We're on a school route and I'm concerned for children's safety. Also, as a cyclist, I was nearly taken out on turning right into my close by a speeding motorist. This happened again to my husband within 2 weeks. Where are the police? I suggested a speed trap. would only need to be done a couple of times a year, but I got no reply. But a speed trap appeared for a couple of days. The thing is, every village has this problem. I was driving through Ballabeg this week, bikes overtaking in the 20-mile-per-hour zone in a dangerous place. We need the police out there, particularly in commuter time, says Jude. I don't speak for the chief constable. But Jude, I'm thinking he's going to say that we don't have the resource or the people. There are lots of villages on the Isle of Man, and you'd have to kind of get somebody to do it almost on a semi-permanent basis. However, the chief constable is going to be on in a few weeks' time on Man in Line. Wednesday, 29th of this month, he's going to be on, 3 weeks ago as last Wednesday. So 2 weeks next Wednesday, Russ Foster will be on. I'll ask about it, speed traps. I'll ask about speed cameras, speed in general. Of course, remember the ones really at fault, Jude. It's the people that are speeding. They're deciding that their needs supersede everybody else's. Of course, it would all end in tears if somebody got knocked down or, heaven forbid, badly injured or worse. Then, of course, it would all be a big mistake. But people who speed, I contend, really don't have that train of thought, do they? Here's Howard with us now. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Yeah, strange enough you mentioned that, because I've been out in the garden, I've just come in. I was sitting up in Westmoreland Road yesterday, and my wife was in the physio place, and out of curiosity, I spotted one or two. They're just driving down Kensington Road from the Books Road end, and they're getting to the halt sign, a stop sign, where the old Jane used to be. And I would say at least 25% of the motorists that came down there did not stop. They slowed down and then drove straight over the stop sign. And I thought to myself, you know, I wonder if that's a habit they've built up, or is it just laziness, or is it say, oh, sod it, I don't have to stop here. But, you know, I was sitting there, it must have been for nearly an hour, and I thought to myself, there's an awful lot, if that's happening all over the island, no wonder there's so many accidents, you know, and people falling foul of the law. Because the stop sign, basically, and Stu Peters said, I think he was caught out on it, he was warned about it, a stop sign means stop, and you start off again, where the broken white lines that give way, you can slow down and go over it. But where there is a sign saying stop on the road and stop on a post, you are required, I believe, by law to stop.
Do you think we should have speed cameras, Howard?
I don't know whether there'd be any use, or they wouldn't. Our daughter was over not so long ago, in May, and she said, don't people drive awful fast over here? And she's driving all over the place. She lives down in Stoke-on-Trent. And she said, people drive too fast over here. You know, and that was her opinion. She drives, well, she's driven more miles backwards than I have any other way. It is, I notice myself, maybe just because I'm getting old, but people just don't seem to be taking any notice of speed limits. And as you rightly say, it could be a sting in the tail, but there again, cash cameras, speed cameras, a lot of them are just cash cows, you know, they tend to build up. But yeah, that surprised me yesterday when I was sitting there. So for all the halt signs, the stop signs on the island, if that's occurring at 25% of the traffic moving, that's a large number of people, potential accidents.
Yeah.
But what it was coming on for, and when Manx Telecom got rid of their Manx Net platform early on the year, I stayed with them. And since then, I've been getting emails coming from Junada, but they're not, they're scam, and I'm just getting rid of them. I was actually getting bills of £90, £60 in some instances as well. Needless to say, they didn't get paid. But I've got one. This is the first time they've used my name. Dear Howard Quayle, you are still using the old security settings. This is one, supposedly, allegedly, and they said I'm still using, and they're deleting old accounts. Well, if you paid for a year like I did,
yeah,
they can't legally get rid of it because it was a contract between me and them.
Yeah.
So I just wonder whether any other listeners have been having a similar problem.
How do you know they're not from Janara, by the way?
Well, they don't come to my name. This is the first one since they took it over that had my name on it. The others have just been admin or user. So you don't send a bill to a user, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the Manx Telecom, they stopped using the blue link. These people are still using the blue link. But, of course, you can't get any answers from Manx Telecom because they no longer have it.
Right.
But Junara, that's somewhere else in the world. Lord knows where that
Australia,
is.
Australia, I think it is.
So I'm not phoning there then. I've just gone on to review now. It's a link. And sorry, you can't access this item because it's in violation of our terms of service. And that's Junara.
Mm.
So, I don't know whether to be wary. And when it come on your news this morning about the increase in data loss, etc., I wonder whether, Jonathan, whether you could tie anything in for the data loss to this company that we're having so much trouble with on emails, and whether it's people accidentally or unaware of the fact that they're being hacked, and whether the increase in data loss has anything to do with it.
It's funny, we never hear anything from Janara, do we? I mean, they've obviously taken the money and run. I mean, if you think, if they only had, 20,000 emails of people who migrated to them, £60 a time, that's £1.2 million they'll have pocketed for that.
Yeah. But as I said, I knew all these other things, the scams, because it was only admin or dear user. And as I say, one of those bills was £90. I've never had a bill for my emails for £90. I don't use them that much, mostly incoming. But and £60. So they were obviously scams, and I got rid of them. But just for the people that listen to your program and take note of it, just be a little bit wary and be more cautious when you're opening these things, because they're very clever people out there and they're busy looking for the inside of your wallet.
Okay. Howard, we appreciate it. Anything else?
One of the other things was yesterday when I mentioned about Colas and Manx Rock, somebody came on afterwards and said about the promenade was finished under budget. But the horse trams were never finished, and that was part of the scheme. So they couldn't have been under budget, because now it's going to cost between 2.5 and 3 million to complete the job that was originally laid out. So they can't be under budget if it's going to cost another 3 million.
No, fair point. Mm. Okay, Howard, good to hear from you. Thanks for that.
Take care. Bye now.
Are you having problems with Janara? Do you keep getting spoof emails from Janara? We haven't heard anything from them, and even if they are in Australia, surely they could make an appearance at some point just to say everything's working fine, or thanks for your custom, thanks for your £60 or so. But if you are having spurious emails purporting to be from Junara, then do get in touch. Regarding a note in from Tony, who just said, I think the people who speed are actually a minority of people, and they're probably the same people who do it all the time. It's just that they're the people who get noticed. So surely, if we do have speed cameras, we may only need them for 5 years, because it'll get rid of all the speeders. Everybody else will then realise that you're never going to save that much time on the Isle of Man by whizzing from pillar to post. So if we just have them for a few years and then get rid of them, what about that? Well, if you've got any thoughts on this, remember, speeding is antisocial. It goes with everything else, throwing dog ends on the floor, letting dogs mess and not cleaning it up, throwing litter. It's antisocial. You don't need to do it. It's not compulsory to speed. And you're never going to save that much time by speeding on the Isle of Man. So why would you do it, particularly in a built-up area where there are children, where there are cars parked, where there are old people around? Anything could happen. Pets could leap between cars. And what would happen then? Well, if you've got any thoughts, then by all means, do get in touch. This is a note in from Cy, who said, ask Mystic Meg if you want to know the price of electricity. Sadly, she's no longer with us, Cy. In the future, she'll be the only one who could vaguely guess, as the people responsible for the price can't tell the future. Why are you banging the same old drum? Says Sir Simon. Well, because it's going to be the biggest industrial structure that the Isle of Man has ever seen. It's going to be the biggest thing since the Second War. To have dozens of 1,000-foot turbines off the east coast of the Isle of Man is going to fundamentally change the look of the Isle of Man, the image of the Isle of Man, life on the Isle of Man. Isn't it reasonable to ask a multi-billion euro company, actually, how much are we going to be paying? Surely they know. Surely there's a spreadsheet in Denmark that will say, this is what we reckon we can offer the Isle of Man. Surely they know. They wouldn't go into such a huge project without knowing. Wouldn't you think?
SMS Trading. New and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul Square, Ramsey. All island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Have your say. Further meetings and hearings for the Moher Vanin offshore wind farm application will take place between the 13th and 17th of July. Anyone can register to speak at a public meeting and at a hearing, providing they have given at least 5 working days' notice. Registration allocates a time slot to speak at the public meeting and on points outlined at the specific issue hearings. For more details, visit the Moher Vanin project page at mima.gov.im. It's time to have your say.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Filshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
The Festival of Family Fun is back once again. Yes, it's the Port Erin Beach Festival 2026, Saturday the 11th and Sunday the 12th of July. Show off your skills at the sandcastle competitions and beach football. Relax with beach yoga and boat trips on the bay. Marvel at the mascot race and legendary Scruffs dog show. Or take to the water with kayaking and paddleboarding. Plus live music, food stalls and so much more. The Port Erin Beach Festival, the 11th and 12th of July. Brought to you by the Domestic Event Fund and Bushy's Brewery and supported by IFGL and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The countdown to the next Isle of Man general election is officially on. On Thursday, the 24th of September, you'll get to have your say on who you think should represent you in the House of Keys. And here at Manx Radio, we've got all the information you need to help you make your choice. We'll be playing out our full interviews with all the candidates each weekday from just before 11:30, and they'll also be available as podcasts shortly after broadcast, and you can watch them on our YouTube channel. And don't forget, for everything you need to know about the upcoming election, you can head to our dedicated website. Just go to manxradio.com to find out more.
Man in line. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
26 minutes before one. If you're a parent or a carer, you've got until a week on Monday to respond to a consultation. It's about thoughts of childcare provision. DESC, the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, says it wants to hear real-life experiences before they make any future decisions. The responses are going to be analysed and summary published by the department. It aims to support the aims of the Isle of Man childcare strategy, seeking to ensure that every child has the opportunity to access high-quality childcare and early education. You can go to maxradio.com, by the way. The consultation closes a week on Monday, the 20th of July. Bonzo's on with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello there. Yes, of course, it's no surprise that everything is being painted and polished for the Lord and Man's visit next Tuesday. Otherwise, he would wonder what was wrong with his sense of smell, because, of course, the royals, as we all know, think that everything smells of polish and paint.
My invitation hasn't arrived. Has yours, Bonzo?
No, no. Mind you, that's probably just as well after the last time.
Okay. But
on what I was going to talk about, wind farms and the price of electricity. Well, whoever messaged in earlier, kind of stole my line about Mystic Meg. Because, of course, the price of energy and electricity has to be usually generated from another source. You use some form of energy in order to spin the turbines, etc., so that it generates electricity that comes out the other end. What is the primary determinant of the market price at the moment is gas. So when the price of gas goes up, the price of electricity goes up. The price per unit of renewables, if it was simply a question of taking the power from the renewable, putting it through the system, that the system had been modified, sort of been hardened, the price per unit would be lower. But the problem is, of course, that it's intermittent. So you then have to have storage, which you have to finance, and then you have issues, obviously, of baseload, so you have to keep something going for that. So the renewables contribute to the overall price per unit, but they don't determine it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So you can start saving some money on renewables, but then, et cetera, then... And so electricity stays either the same or increases. Now, the thing is about renewables is that, say, you don't have that price volatility. So you can have a reasonable proportion, if you do it right, a reasonable proportion of your energy mix coming from the renewables. And that enables you to stabilize to some extent the price, because you can absorb those wilder fluctuations of things like gas and oil. So that's what renewables do. So to just say, oh well, it's how much are we going to have, that doesn't really calculate the whole picture. So that's not, to my mind, a particularly good argument. And also, we seem to be confusing this with RMUA turbines and the Ørsted turbines. Now, the Ørsted turbines were never planned to provide electricity to the Isle of Man. They're there to provide revenue to the Isle of Man. And what we were, Isle of Man government will be getting predominantly is revenue from leasing the seabed, and I think there's a small percentage of production revenues. But in order for us to take any electricity from Morvanin, it will require expensive processing. We will then have to harden the grid and also the receiving stations for the cable, and the cable will be or the connector from the Morvanin array. That would all come on our bill, as far as I'm aware. I don't think Ørsted are picking that up, and I've heard mentions of things like that, about £300 million that would cost. So I think what we have to understand is that it's the MUA wind turbines that are going to contribute to stabilizing the price of electricity on the Isle of Man.
Right.
The more Morvanin turbines have got nothing to do with it. It's about money it provides to the Manx treasury.
Right.
in order to fund public services and such like.
And forgive me if I remember this wrongly, but you're not happy with the amount of money that we're getting. You think that we need a lot more money from Ofsted, am I right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I know that would make their return on investment period a bit longer, but for what we would be being asked to sort of sacrifice in terms of not simply in terms of visual impact, but things like shipping routes and potential adverse effects perhaps for tourism and such, and certainly for the East Coast residents, any impact upon property values. $50 million a year isn't touching the sides. Now, I don't think anyone should be thinking that we should be getting $200 or $250 million a year like the Crown Estates have done, because they were in an auction round where everything was at the top of the market and the people had to pay really through the top dollar through the nose in order to get those leases, and indeed one of them has been handed back for Mona, which is the one of Anglesey, but I think somebody else is picking that up at a lower rate. But certainly £100 million a year, index-linked, and that's the key, is one of my, over the term of the project, is what I think would be reasonable. Because if it was just, £100 million a year for 35 years, well, by the end of 35 years, inflation has done its work. You'll just be able to about to buy two Mars bars with it. But, of course, anyone who's had a mortgage knows about that, that inflation is your friend because it erodes the value of your debt.
OK. All right. Bonzo, we appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
OK. And yes.
Good to
Bye.
Hear from you. Thank you. And by the way, the person that we need, because Bonzo's often talked about, the big boss of Ofsted, I'm grateful to Angela, who tells me his name is Rasmus Erbo. He's the group president and the chief exec of Ofsted in Denmark, member of the executive board, executive of Ofsted with the Danish Business Authority. Rasmus Erbo is the person we need to the Isle of Man. And tell him all about it, says Angela, because our elections are right in front of us and our elections and our candidates aren't anonymous. Elections aren't something that happen at a distance. We're very aware of elections, says Angela. Peter's with us now. Hello, Peter.
Oh, hello, Andy. It's Peter Murkoff here. Now, with the King coming over next Tuesday, it's a very appropriate moment to remind the legislature that they swear an oath of allegiance to the Crown when they take office. What is happening at the moment is, despite that oath of allegiance, as I pointed out, and I keep on pointing out until somebody does something, they are presenting a bill called the Assisted Suicide. Well, it's Assisted Dying Bill. It's about assisted suicide. And that actually creates great difficulty for the Crown for two reasons. The first problem is people don't know their constitutional law, though the people in authority ought to know it, especially in London. When the present House of Windsor, when their ancestors took the throne, they had to promise to two things, and both of them impact upon the Assisted Dying Bill. The first thing was they had to promise to the Bill of Rights. Now, the Bill of Rights establishes that the monarchy cannot suspend or dispense with the law, because James II had been doing that. And that Bill of Rights still stands, and they still, in effect, have to acknowledge that. The second thing was, and this was tied up with it, they had to agree to the Coronation Oath Act, because before that, the oath hadn't actually been set down in statute, and it was set down in 1688, and there's a very, very clear provision in the statute that says that at every coronation, they have to swear, amongst other things, solemnly swear to maintain the laws of God and the true profession of the gospel. Now, that still stands. Now, by sending the bill to London, what they're in effect expecting is that the Ministry of Justice will advise His Majesty, or that's what they're hoping, will advise His Majesty to grant the royal assent, and he acts on their advice. But in giving that advice, they will actually be doing two things, and they ought to know this if they're the Ministry of Justice. First of all, they are dispensing with the effects of the Coronation Oath Act, which of course is strictly illegal as against the Bill of Rights, and that was the very thing that caused James II to be overthrown, because he was dispensing with the law, and no one can do that. They can only get rid of a law by passing another Act of Parliament. Now, which law are they dispensing with? Oh, they're impliedly asking His Majesty to do that. And that is the Coronation Oath Act, which says that he must, to the utmost of his power, maintain the true profession of the gospel and the laws of God. Now, quite clearly, this bill breaks the laws of God. And so, therefore, in advising him to grant the law, the royal assent, actual fact, two laws are being broken. And constitutionally, that stands in the way of the assisted dying bill coming law. They've got to, first of all, repeal the Coronation Oath Act before they can go ahead. Now, the legislature, again, ought to realise this, because they swear an oath of allegiance to the king, and they are putting the monarchy in a most unlikable situation. And these are the primary reasons, I think, that ought to be always put forward. I know there's a lot of secondary reasons about human rights and all the other things, and they're very important reasons, but the primary reason is that the existing constitutional law is against the bill in the first place. No matter what the provisions are, and no matter how many safeguards there are, the law is against it, and they shouldn't even be putting it forward. And that's the thing that I hope they will reflect on when the King in person is in the legislature.
Okay. All right. Peter? We appreciate your call.
Thank you very much.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Just a quick word about these and a message in from Terry, who just said, when are these Moore Vannin meetings? Next week, Monday the 13th, Tuesday the 14th, Wednesday the 15th, Thursday the 16th and Friday the 17th. Get all the details at manxradio.com. It's on one of our news stories. And it's a week of public meetings, specific issue hearings taking place from next Monday the 13th to Friday the 17th. You get all those details. Lots of questions to get to in a moment.
Concerned about your hearing? Get the support and help that you need with an expert hearing assessment free of charge at Island Hearing in Port Erin or Ramsey. With microsuction wax removal available in our Port Erin clinic. Island Hearing have been your local hearing care specialists for over 15 years. So for friendly, professional help and advice, just call 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. Island Hearing, always listening.
Geoffrey, I do love the view from our new sliding patio doors from Spectrum Windows, with trees, fields and Snaefell in the distance.
Yes, and I've got a smashing view of Marilyn. What a beauty.
Geoffrey!
Don't worry. Marilyn's my new prize pig. Look, she's as happy as a pig in muck.
Oh, Geoffrey, she is a pig in muck.
Improve your outlook with sliding patio doors. Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments. Quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom spacious homes and bungalows, offering countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. With latest energy efficiency, contemporary German kitchens, bathrooms and including all flooring, you literally only have to turn the key to your new home. We're in our final phase, so don't miss out. Check our Facebook for show home opening or to arrange a visit. Kell Developments, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island living, redefined.
From hoofbeats to history, this summer we celebrate 150 years of the iconic Douglas Bay Horse Tramway, a cherished symbol of our island's heritage. Since 1876, the horse trams have delighted generations of locals and visitors alike, carrying passengers
dinners and a rich legacy of memories along the promenade. There's a whole season of special events not to be missed, celebrating 150 years of the Douglas Bay Horse Tramway, part of the Manx Heritage Transport Festival. Find out more at rail.im. Isle of Man
Railways. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
10 to 1, John's with us now. Hello, John. We've got another John then. Hello, John.
Hi, Andy, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, off you go.
Yeah, what it is, Andy, everybody's entitled to opinion. I've got no problem with that whatsoever. But I think we need to start listening to factual evidence about global warming. It is happening. Hence, yeah, sea defences listed on trauma and difficult projects online. You know, there's a lot of their callers phoning up on Man in Line. Edwin, what's his name? Eddie, and Dewan. Most of the stuff they're researching is off the internet. It's all speculation and hearsay. If you research something with a narrative, you're going to find out what you want to hear. What's actually happening is global warming. And as soon as we get these wind farms up and have our own energy, our own supply, reduce our carbon footprint, as far as I'm concerned with it.
Okay, all right, we appreciate that, John. Thanks for that. I'll see if we can find the other John. John, are you there, John? No, we've lost John. The speeding in Ramsey, the junction of Christian Street and Parliament Street, is highly dangerous, says Wolfie. What I've asked both Dewan Watterson and Derek Flint to put in speed bumps outside the popular brunch cafe. So simple, but so difficult for anything to be done until a child, for example, gets injured. Whilst on, when will Christian Street and West Street each become one way? Says speed bumps. Well, you would have thought, and particularly Parliament, can anybody speed down Parliament Street? You can walk quicker than cars on Parliament Street, can't you? Why not, by the way, you're talking about speeding and speed cameras and speed traps. Youngish pensioners, properly trained with an adequate air of authority and a good character or service record, could well do it and be paid for the hours worked. They could even be put in a place as a locally elected official, as most towns in America do things as well. It doesn't have to be the police alone who operate the speed control, says Richie. So how would you think about that? Volunteers or people getting paid on a even on a per motorist basis, perhaps, maybe not. That's a productive bonus, isn't it? So what do you think about this? If we need to eradicate speeding, and let's face it, particularly around the villages and around our towns, why would anybody speed? You're not going to get anywhere any quicker by speeding, are you? So why would you do this? I'd just like to point out there's been a programme of line painting going on for the last couple of months around the Isle of Man. I drive for a living and I've seen them being done, says Tony C. So did you know, Tony, did you know when the Lord of Man was going to be coming here? I'm wondering what Ramsar will be thinking about the wind turbine plans to desecrate our Isle of Man. Well, we got protected sites on the Isle of Man representing our national heritage. As of, I think it's 2023, we had 22 areas of special scientific interest. National Nature Reserve, 10 marine nature reserves, an area of special protection for birds, Ramsar Wetland of international importance, and 5 bird sanctuaries. So it says, Ross dropped a note in just to say, what are the people going to think when they come over and they see huge wind turbines? Will they think we're desecrating the Isle of Man, or will they think it's the future? Well, I suppose that depends on your opinion, doesn't it? If we do end up having huge wind turbines off the East Coast, or indeed having a wind turbine at Eyre Stain, will people who come... And remember, you go around the world, they're everywhere. I mean, they are everywhere. Go down through southern Spain, all the mountains have got them, they're right across America. We don't have them on the Isle of Man, so what do they think about us? Do they think we're a bit behind the times, or that we're protecting our Isle of Man? So when we do get wind turbines in the future, will people think, well, they're just embracing the future? It's what the Isle of Man, you know, does. We embrace the future. Here's the thought. People may be thinking people are speeding or going faster than they'd like. However, where are the accident statistics to prove somebody's going too fast? Says Ali, clearly people say, I was nearly hit, but in fact they weren't hit. The pedestrian saw a car and they stopped. There wasn't an accident. Having been across recently, we don't know where born here. Also, round schools, who complains about parking and speeding round schools? Parents. Who are the ones that mostly get caught? Says Ali. Parents. Right. Check the email address, by the way, if you're getting those scam emails. Always check the email. Click on the email address, and if it looks like gibberish, it normally represents gibberish. Speed cameras do work, says 500. In the UK, it's a fact that fewer accidents occur. They may be cash cows, as Howard says, but they do save lives. I don't care what people call them. Use the money generated through fines to repair the hundreds of potholes. They have them in the Channel Islands, and they're tiny. So why don't we have speed cameras on the Isle of Man? Stop signs on Governor's Hill, says this correspondent. I would say that at least 75% of drivers treat stop signs as giveaways. Also on Facebook yesterday, a lady was advising people that some non-island bikers were going from the Craig up to Kate's Cottage, turning round and speeding back, using all of the road both ways. The problem with tackling speeding, it's the minority ruining it for the majority with short-sightedness. That's a major issue on the Isle of Man. If people don't want over-enforcement from the establishment, they just need to take responsibility for their actions. I regularly go via Richmond Hill, says 592, 50 miles an hour and get overtaken by other road users. They then get stuck behind the next car doing 40 miles an hour or the turn off to Mount Murray. The logic is baffling. That's it from Andy. Enjoy a really nice weekend. Thanks to Michelle on the phones today. Take it easy now.
W-I-N.